Welcome to day 153 of my Everyday Bible. This is Rita Langland, your host from Hidden with Christ Ministries. This week we've been reading from the Amplified Translation of the Bible, and today we will start and finish a new book, the Song of Solomon, also known as the Song of Songs. There are 8 chapters in this book, and the author was King Solomon. The Bible tells us that King Solomon authored 1,005 songs, and yet this is the only one that remains for us to read. This book of the Bible has often been a controversial one due to the very strong and clear depiction of married love that is found throughout the book of Song of Solomon. And in fact, multiple types of interpretations of this book of the Bible and the meaning of it have been offered. The first, most obvious one is that it is a book that describes and rejoices in the love between a husband and a wife. Solomon himself is depicted as the bridegroom and then the Shulamite as the bride. Though the wedding customs are very foreign to Western minds, yet it clearly depicts the beauty and the anticipation of the wedding and the husband and wife coming together as one. In the rabbinical or Jewish tradition, the view of this book of the Bible is considered to be a depiction of God's love for Israel, God being the bridegroom and Israel being the bride. And then most Christian commentators interpret the book of Song of Solomon as a picture of Christ as the bridegroom and the body of Christ or the church as the bride of Christ, and the love that God has for the church. And we know from the New Testament that we are told that God himself has prepared a beautiful bride without spot or blemish, as Ephesians chapter 5 tells us. And so this is symbolism and interpretation of many Christian scholars and commentators on the book of Song of Solomon. But I believe also that every single believer can receive revelation about this book and about the intimacy of relationship between the believer and God himself. So as you listen to this particular book of the Bible being read, and we are going to read the entire book, which consists of 8 chapters, I want you to ask the Holy Spirit to give you insight and revelation as to the meaning and the depth of beauty and poetry of this book and how it applies to the life of an individual believer. God calls to each of us to have an intimate, loving, close relationship with God, and definitely the book of Song of Solomon speaks to that issue. So today, reading from the Amplified Translation, Song of Solomon, chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. The Song of Songs, the most excellent of them all, which is Solomon's. "Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth," she cries. Then, realizing that Solomon has arrived and has heard her speech, she turns to him and adds, "For your love is better than wine." And she continues, "The odor of your ointments is fragrant. Your name is like perfume poured out. Therefore do the maidens love you. Draw me, we will run after you. The king brings me into his apartments. We will be glad and rejoice in you. We will recall when we were favored with your love more fragrant than wine. The upright are not offended at your choice, but sincerely love you. I am so black, "But you are lovely and pleasant," the ladies assured her. "O you daughters of Jerusalem, I am as dark as the tents of the Bedouin tribe Kedar, like the beautiful curtains of Solomon. Please do not look at me," she said, "for I am swarthy. I have worked out in the sun, and it has left its mark upon me. My stepbrothers were angry with me, and they made me keeper of the vineyard. But my own vineyard, my complexion, I have not kept." Addressing her shepherd, she said, "Tell me, O you whom my soul loves, where you pasture your flock, where you make it lie down at noon. For why should I, as I think of you, be as a veiled one straying beside the flocks of your companions? If you do not know where your lover is, O you fairest among women, run along, follow the tracks of the flock, and amuse yourself by pasturing your kids besides the shepherd's tents. O my love," he said as he saw her, "you remind me of my favorite mare in the chariots, spans of Pharaoh. Your cheeks are comely with ornaments, your neck with strings of jewels. We will make for you chains and ornaments of gold studded with silver. While the king sits at his table," she said, "my spikenard, my absent lover, sends forth his fragrance over me. My beloved shepherd is to me like a scent bag of myrrh that lies in my bosom. My beloved shepherd is to me a cluster of henna flowers in the vineyards of Engedi, famed for its fragrant shrubs. Behold, you are beautiful, my love. Behold, you are beautiful. You have dove's eyes," she cried. "Behold, you are beautiful, my beloved shepherd. Yes, delightful. Our arbor and couch are green and leafy. The beams of our house are cedars, and our rafters and panels are cypresses or pines." Chapter 2. She said, "I am only a little rose or autumn crocus of the plain of Sharon, or a humble lily of the valleys that grows in deep and difficult places." But Solomon replied, "Like the lily among thorns, so are you, my love, among the daughters. Like an apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved shepherd among the sons," cried the girl. "Under his shadow I delighted to sit, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love, for love waved as a protecting and comforting banner over my head when I was near him. Sustain me with raisins, refresh me with apples, for I am sick with love. I can feel his left hand under my head, and his right hand embraces me." He said, "I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, by the gazelles or by the hinds of the field, which are free to follow their own instincts, that you may not stir up, awaken my love until it pleases." Vividly she pictured it, the voice of my beloved shepherd. "Behold, he comes, leaping upon the mountains, bounding over the hills. My beloved is like a gazelle or a young hart. Behold, he stands behind the wall of our house. He looks in through the windows. He glances through the lattice. My beloved speaks and says to me, 'Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For behold, the winter is past. The rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth. The time of the singing of birds has come, and the voice of the turtle dove is heard in our land. The fig tree puts forth and ripens her green figs, and the vines are in blossom and give forth their fragrance. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away.' So I went with him, and when we were climbing the rocky steps up the hillside, my beloved shepherd says to me, 'O my dove, while you are here in the seclusion of the clefts in the solid rock, in the sheltered and secret place of the cliff, Let me see your face. Let me hear your voice, for your voice is sweet and your face is lovely. My heart was touched, and I fervently sang to him my desire. Take for us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vineyards of our love, for our vineyards are in blossom. She said distinctly, my beloved is mine and I am his. He pastures his flocks among the lilies. Then longingly, addressing her absent shepherd, she cried, until the day breaks and the shadows flee away, return hastily, O my beloved, and be like a gazelle or a young hart as you cover the mountains which separate us. Chapter 3. In the night, I dreamed that I sought the one I love. She said I looked for him but could not find him. So I decided to go out into the city, into the streets and the broad ways, which are so confusing to a country girl, and seek him whom my soul loves. I sought him, but I could not find him. The watchmen who go about the city found me, to whom I said, have you seen him whom my soul loves? I had gone but a little way past them when I found him whom my soul loves. I held him and would not let him go until I had brought him into my mother's house and into the chamber of her who conceived me. I adjure you, O daughters of Jerusalem, by the gazelles or by the hinds of the field, that you stir not up nor awaken love until it pleases. Who or what is this, she asked, that comes gliding out of the wilderness like stately pillars of smoke, perfumed with myrrh, frankincense, and all the fragrant powders of the merchant? Someone answered, behold, it is the traveling litter, the bridal car of Solomon. 60 men are around it, of the mighty men of Israel. They all handle the sword and are expert in war. Every man has his sword upon his thigh, that fear be not excited in the night. King Solomon made himself a car or a palanquin from the cedar wood of Lebanon. He made its posts of silver, its back of gold, its seat of purple, the inside of it lovingly and intricately wrought in needlework by the daughters of Jerusalem. Go forth, O you daughters of Zion, and gaze upon King Solomon wearing the crown with which his mother Bathsheba crowned him on the day of his wedding, on the day of his gladness of heart. Chapter 4. How fair are you, my love, he said, how very fair. Your eyes behind your veil remind me of those of a dove. Your hair makes me think of the black, wavy fleece of a flock of the Arabian goats which one sees trailing down Mount Gilead beyond the Jordan on the frontiers of the desert. Your teeth are like a flock of shorn ewes which have come up from the washing, of which all are in pairs and none is missing among them. Your lips are like a thread of scarlet, and your mouth is lovely. Your cheeks are like halves of a pomegranate behind your veil. Your neck is like the Tower of David, built for an arsenal, whereon hang 1,000 bucklers, all of them shields of warriors. Your two breasts are like two fawns, like twins of a gazelle that feed among the lilies. Until the day breaks and the shadows flee away in my thoughts, I will get to the mountain of myrrh and the hill of frankincense, to him whom my soul adores. He exclaimed, O my love, how beautiful you are! There is no flaw in you. Come away with me from Lebanon, my promised bride. Come with me from Lebanon. Depart from the top of Amana, from the peak of Seir and Hermon, from the lion's den, from the mountains of the leopards. You have ravished my heart and given me courage, my sister, my promised bride. You have ravished my heart and given me courage with one look from your eyes, with one jewel of your necklace. How beautiful is your love, my sister, my promised bride. How much better is your love than wine, and the fragrance of your ointments than all spices. Your lips, O my promised bride, drop honey as the honeycomb. Honey and milk are under your tongue, and the odor of your garments is like the odor of Lebanon. A garden enclosed and barred is my sister, my promised bride, a spring shut up, a fountain sealed. Your shoots are an orchard of pomegranates, or a paradise with precious fruits, henna with spikenard plants. Spikenard and saffron, calamus and cinnamon, with all trees of frankincense, myrrh and aloes, with all the chief spices. You are a fountain, springing up in a garden, a well of living waters, and flowing streams from Lebanon. You have called me a garden, she said. Oh, I pray that the cold north wind and the soft south wind may blow upon my garden, that its spices may flow out in abundance for you, in whom my soul delights. Let my beloved come into his garden and eat its choicest fruits. Chapter 5, verse 1. I have come into my garden, my sister, my promised bride. I have gathered my myrrh with my balsam and spice. From your sweet words I have gathered the richest perfumes and spices. I have eaten my honeycomb with my honey. I have drunk my wine with my milk. Eat, O friends, feast on, O revelers of the palace. You can never make my lover disloyal to me. Drink, yes, drink abundantly of love, O precious one, for now I know you are mine, irrevocably mine. With his confident words still thrilling her heart, through the lattice she saw her shepherd turn away and disappear into the night. I went to sleep, but my heart stayed awake. I dreamed that I heard the voice of my beloved as he knocked at the door of my mother's cottage. Open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my spotless one, he said, for I am wet with the heavy night dew. My hair is covered with it. But weary from a day in the vineyards, I had already sought my rest. I had put off my garment. How could I again put it on? I had washed my feet. How could I again soil them? My beloved put in his hand by the hole of the door, and my heart was moved for him. I rose up to open for my beloved, and my hands dripped with myrrh and my fingers with liquid, sweet-scented myrrh, which he had left upon the handles of the bolt. I opened for my beloved, but my beloved had turned away and withdrawn himself and was gone. My soul went forth to him when he spoke, but it failed me, and now he was gone. I sought him, but I could not find him. I called him, but he gave me no answer. The watchmen who go about the city found me. They struck me, they wounded me. The keepers of the walls took my veil and my mantle from me. I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, if you find my beloved, that you tell him that I am sick from love, simply sick to be with him. What is your beloved more than another beloved? Oh, you fairest among women, taunted the ladies. What is your beloved more than any other beloved, that you should give us such a charge? She said, my beloved is fair and ruddy, the chief among 10,000. His head is as precious as the finest gold. His locks are curly and bushy and black as a raven. His eyes are like doves beside the water brooks, bathed in milk and fitly set. His cheeks are like a bed of spices or balsam, like banks of sweet herbs yielding fragrance. His lips are like blood-red anemones or lilies, distilling liquid, sweet-scented myrrh. His hands are like rods of gold set with nails of beryl or topaz. His body is a figure of bright ivory overlaid with veins of sapphires. His legs are like strong and steady pillars of marble set upon bases of fine gold. His appearance is like Lebanon, excellent, stately, and majestic as the cedars. His voice and speech are exceedingly sweet. Yes, he is altogether lovely. The whole of him delights and is precious. This is my beloved, and this is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem. Chapter 6, verse 1. Where has your beloved gone, O you fairest among women? Again, the ladies showed their interest in the remarkable person whom the Shulamite had championed with such unstinted praise. They too wanted to know him, they insisted. Where is your beloved, hiding himself? For we would seek him with you. She replied, My beloved has gone down to his garden, to the beds of his spices, to feed in the gardens, and to gather lilies. I am my beloved's garden, and my beloved is mine. He feeds among the lilies which grow there. He said, You are as beautiful as Tirzah, capital of the northern kingdom's first king, my love, and as comely as Jerusalem, but you are as terrible as a bannered host. Turn away your flashing eyes from me, for they have overcome me. Your hair is like a flock of goats trailing down Mount Gilead. Your teeth are like a flock of ewes coming from their washing, of which all are in pairs, and not one of them is missing. Your cheeks are like the halves of a pomegranate behind your veil. There are 60 queens and 80 concubines and virgins without number, but my dove, my undefiled and perfect one, stands alone above them all. She is the only one of her mother. She is the choice one of her who bore her. The daughters saw her and called her blessed and happy. Yes, the queens and the concubines, and they praised her. The ladies asked, Who is this that looks forth like the dawn, fair as the moon, clear and pure as the sun, and terrible as a bannered host? The Shulamite replied, I went down into the nut orchard one day to look at the green plants of the valley, to see whether the grapevine had budded and the pomegranates were in flower. Before I was aware of what was happening, my desire to roam around had brought me into the area of the princes of my people, the king's retinue. I began to flee, but they called to me, Return, return, O Shulamite, return. Return that we may look upon you. I replied, What is there for you to see in the poor little Shulamite? And they answered, As upon a dance before two armies or a dance of Mahanim. Chapter 7, verse 1. Then her companions began noticing and commenting on the attractiveness of her person. How beautiful are your feet in sandals, O queenly maiden! Your rounded limbs are like jeweled chains, the work of a master hand. Your body is like a round goblet in which no mixed wine is wanting. Your abdomen is like a heap of wheat set about with lilies. Your two breasts are like two fawns, the twins of a gazelle. Your neck is like a tower of ivory. Your eyes like the pools of Heshbon by the gate of Bathrabim. Your nose is like the tower of Lebanon, which looks toward Damascus. Your head crowns you like Mount Carmel, and the hair of your head like purple. Then seeing the king watching the girl in absorbed admiration, the speaker added, The king is held captive by its tresses. The king came forward saying, How fair and how pleasant you are, O love, with your delights. Your stature is like that of a palm tree, and your bosom like its clusters of dates, declared the king. I resolved that I will climb the palm tree. I will grasp its branches. Let your breasts be like clusters of the grapevine, and the scent of your breath like apples, and your kisses like the best wine. Then the Shulamite interrupted, "That goes down smoothly and sweetly for my beloved shepherd, kisses gliding over his lips while he sleeps." She proudly said, "I am my beloved's, and his desire is toward me." She said, "Come, my beloved, let us go forth into the field. Let us lodge in the villages. Let us go out early to the vineyards and see whether the vines have budded, whether the grape blossoms have opened, and whether the pomegranates are in bloom. There I will give you my love. The mandrakes give forth fragrance, and over our doors are all manner of choice fruits, new and old, which I have laid up for you, O my beloved." Chapter 8. Looking forward to the shepherd's arrival, the eager girl pictures their meeting and says, "Oh, that you were like my brother, who nursed from the breasts of my mother. If I should find you without, I would kiss you. Yes, and none would despise me for it. I would lead you and bring you into the house of my mother, who would instruct me. I would cause you to drink spiced wine and of the juice of my pomegranates." Then musingly she said, "Oh, that his left hand were under my head, and that his right hand embraced me. I adjure you, O daughters of Jerusalem, that you never again attempt to stir up or awaken love until it pleases. Who is this who comes up from the wilderness leaning upon her beloved?" And as they sighted the home of her childhood, the bride said, "Under the apple tree I awakened you. There your mother gave you birth, and there she was in travail and bore you. Set me like a seal upon your heart, like a seal upon your arm, for love is as strong as death. Jealousy is as hard and cruel as Sheol, the place of the dead. Its flashes are flashes of fire, a most vehement flame, the very flame of the Lord. Many waters cannot quench love, neither can floods drown it. If a man would offer all the goods of his house for love, he would be utterly scorned and despised." Gathered with her family and the wedding guests in her mother's cottage, the bride said to her stepbrothers, "When I was a little girl, you said, 'We have a little sister, and she has no breasts. What shall we do for our sister on the day when she is spoken for in marriage? If she is a wall, discreet and womanly, we will build upon her a turret, a dowry of silver. But if she is a door, bold and flirtatious, we will enclose her with boards of cedar. Well, I am a wall with battlements, and my breasts are like the towers of it. Then was I in the king's eyes as one to be respected and to be allowed to find peace. Solomon had a vineyard at Baal Haman. He let out the vineyard to keepers. Everyone was to bring him 1,000 pieces of silver for its fruit. You, O Solomon, can have your 1,000 pieces of silver, and those who tend the fruit of it 200. But my vineyard, which is mine, with all its radiant joy, is before me. O you who dwell in the gardens, your companions have been listening to your voice. Now cause me to hear it." Joyfully, the radiant bride turned to him, the one altogether lovely, the chief among 10,000 to her soul, and with unconcealed eagerness to begin her life of sweet companionship with him, she answered, "Make haste, my beloved, and come quickly, like a gazelle or a young hart, and take me to our waiting home upon the mountains of spices." This is the end of today's scripture reading. In today's devotional, I want to focus on essentially what the theme of the Song of Solomon is for us, and that is a call to intimacy with God. As I told you in my introduction, there's been various types of assessments of the meaning and symbolism of this book of the Bible, this Song of Solomon, and some of it being that the church of Jesus Christ is represented as the bride here and Christ as the bridegroom. And we see this drama throughout these eight chapters of the Song of Solomon of the bride longing for the bridegroom and also the bridegroom longing for the bride. And their expressions of love and admiration for one another are woven through these eight chapters. But it begins with these words in this very second verse of the first chapter. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, she cries, which is what the Amplified translation says, showing us that the speaker is the bride. And then this idea, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, is a expression of desiring close intimate contact with the bridegroom or with the Lord. You know, we live in a day when there's so much input all around us and continually bombarding us that we don't have a lot of time for just intimate conversation with people or with God. There's lots of quickly spoken words, quickly exchanged messages, text messages going, email messages being sent, quick phone calls, just a lot of speed. And with those types of interactions and those types of exchanges of communication, there's not any type of intimacy that's taking place. There may be communication, but it's on a very surface level. What we see in the Song of Solomon is an idea of intimacy, love between husband and wife, or God and his people, bride and bridegroom, with a longing for depth, a longing for close contact, a longing for close communication, a longing for expressing the heart one to the other. And this is something that is rare in our day. It is easy to be focused on the many tasks that every person has in a daily basis. Maybe you're working one or more than one job. You have a family to care for. Maybe you're going to school. There are so many demands upon your time, and having an intimate fellowship with God may be very low on the list of your priorities simply because the demands on your time are so great. And yet we are called to this. We're called to have an intimate, sweet contact, relationship, fellowship with God, where we can speak to the Lord and we can hear from the Lord. And this entire book of Song of Solomon speaks to our hearts about this issue of developing and pursuing intimacy with the Lord. If I asked you if you know a certain person, you may answer, yes, I know that person. But depending on who that person is to you will be the depth of how close of a relationship you may have and how much you actually know that person. I may say, do you know your neighbor? And you would say, yeah, I know my neighbor. You may know their first name. You may know what they do for a living. But there's not maybe an intimacy of fellowship or friendship with that neighbor. But if I ask you, do you know this person, and it's your spouse, there should be a much deeper knowing of your spouse than there would be of your neighbor or of the person down the street. So knowing God is one thing, knowing about God is another thing, but having an intimate relationship with God is another thing altogether. And God has called us to intimacy. I really believe God created people because He longed for relationship and a family. And so God is calling us through the Song of Solomon to desire Him, to want Him like the bride longs for the bridegroom and longs that he would kiss her with the kisses of his mouth. In other words, have such close connection and contact and physical touch that there would be such a knowing one of the other. God wants you to want that of Him. God wants you to desire God in such a deep and precious way. And in order to do that, we will oftentimes have to remove out of our sphere things that would distract us from pursuing the Lord. You have to set time apart. There's no way to know God without spending time pursuing God. There's no way to get close to God without just spending time in His presence and just asking the Lord to visit you, to be with you, to draw near to you. And God waits for us. I believe that He waits for us. And we have to focus our heart and our spirit and our soul and our mind and our body, your whole person, upon the Lord, upon His presence. Just focus and become oblivious to everything else around you. That may require you to remove yourself from the people around you in your house and go into a private room and close the door and just spend time pursuing intimate relationship with the Lord. God longs to find the person who longs to be with Him. And that's God's heart for us. He wants us to want Him the way He longs for us. And I believe that it is the Lord who longs for us more than we could ever long for Him. And yet, He's patient with us, and He wants us to desire Him. If intimacy with God is something that you have not really experienced, I want to encourage you to pursue the Lord and tell Him, Lord, I want to know You intimately. I want to hear Your voice. I want more of You. I want more of Your presence. I want more of Your fullness in my life. Fill me with more of You. And you can do that by just sitting in the presence of God and spending time just waiting on the Lord and sharing that heart with Him. And the Lord will answer, and the Lord will visit you. The Lord will be so pleased so that He will begin to draw near to you as you draw near to Him. So as you go through this week, I want to just encourage you to take time aside and just sit in God's presence and tell Him your heart. Lord, I want to have a close relationship with You. I want that intimacy that's described in the Song of Solomon. Help me to build that intimate relationship with You so that we can have that closeness that's spoken of here. God bless you and give you a victorious week.